In the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For a little while, see yourself in today's gospel reading. See yourself as the widow of Nain, who has lost her only son. See yourself in that you yourself have lost loved ones to death. Maybe not a child, but someone you certainly love. A sibling, a dear friend, a spouse, your mother, your father. You too have walked in procession to the grave behind the casket holding the remains of your loved one. You know the grief, particularly if it was a child who had died. You know the pain, the sorrow. You have probably walked that way 100 times or more during your life, following the remains of a loved one, a friend, or a member of this church to that final resting place, the grave. See yourself also in the widow's son who had died and who was being carried out of the town to the graveyard. You too will one day be carried forth from this church or another church to your body's final resting place on this earth. People you know will trail behind your casket, behind your remains. There's nothing unique in this story when it comes to death, for all will die. The Bible teaches us that. Who can say he has conquered death? Certainly not one of us. Now, see Jesus in this gospel reading. But see Jesus in a way that doesn't show his power, his authority just yet. See Jesus who tasted death for us, so that we might be set free from the fear of death. See Jesus, who by his death destroyed the devil's works. See Jesus, nailed to the cross, suffering and dying there in great anguish and frailty. A surely defeated man, if what human eyes beheld was accurate. See Jesus, whose body was lovingly taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, whose body was embraced by his mother and a few of his followers. See Jesus, who was placed in the tomb and who rested there for 3 days. God plays fair with us. God doesn't give us rules or set us on a path in which he did not first walk himself. Jesus kept God's commandments for you, the commandments that condemn you and me to death because we fail to keep those commandments. Jesus suffered death on the cross as the just penalty for sin, even though he himself had not sinned. See Jesus, who showed his authority over death and who was declared Son of God in power by his resurrection on the third day. And it was for you, it was for me, it was for all the members of this congregation, it was for all people everywhere, that Jesus died for sin and was raised again on the third day, effectively putting death out of business. You see, Jesus went the way of all flesh, that every sinful, mortal human being has gone or will go. He went there as the one who breaks through the barrier of death, the barricade, who shatters the gates, and who opens the way to heaven and life eternal and the resurrection of the body for you. How can he do this? Well, sin precedes death. Death follows upon sin. In Adam, we all sinned. In Adam, we all die. But Jesus is the second Adam. He is one who reverses all the tragedy, all the ugliness, all the death, all the suffering that the first Adam brought into the world. And Jesus defeats those for you and for me. If you've looked ahead at the hymns we will sing, you will notice that we are singing Easter hymns. Hymns of praise and rejoicing and glory to the one who has defeated death for you and me. Now, when Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, when he raised Lazarus and Jairus' daughters, they were not, properly speaking, resurrected. They were resuscitated, revived, because they would face death again. And Jesus himself had not been resurrected. Paul speaks of Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus is raised, and all who believe in him will be raised also when Christ returns in glory. And in one sense, you have already been raised to new life in Christ through your baptism into Jesus' death and resurrection. You are a new creation. Death no longer has claim over you. Yeah, you may stay in the tomb for a while, but not for all eternity. Because Jesus will come back and he will call you forth from that tomb just as surely as he said to Jairus' daughter, "Little girl, I say to you, arise," and to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth," and to the widow of Nain's son, "I say to you, arise." Jesus' words are powerful. They are the words of forgiveness to you, the words of life, life eternal to you, the words of hope, the words of salvation to you. And it is only because Jesus died and was raised again that this story has meaning for us today. We worship and serve a victorious Savior, a risen Savior, a living Savior who was raised again on the third day, ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the throne of God, who descended into hell to declare his victory over all the forces of death, over all the forces of evil, even over the devil himself. And you, dear Christian friend, will be raised up by Jesus on the last day. Jesus said something to the widow of Nain, which seems to us at first glance kind of strange. He had compassion on her. That means literally he felt in his gut what she was feeling, what she was suffering. But he said to her, "Do not weep." That seems kind of strange. Seems kind of unfeeling. Seems uncaring even. If you have a friend who's lost a loved one, I'm sure you wouldn't say to that friend, "Don't weep, it's going to be okay." You see, death is bigger than we are. Death is a mystery. Death is a force that we cannot reckon with. So naturally, we weep when we've lost someone dear to us. But Paul reminds us that yes, we weep, but we weep as those who have hope. Hope in Christ. Hope of life eternal. Hope of reunion with our loved ones who have died in Jesus. Tears are good, but faith is even better. And when you and I shed those tears at the loss of a loved one, when we shed those tears, when we get a medical diagnosis we weren't hoping to get, know this, that they are tears of faith. That Jesus wept, sanctifying your weeping. That the tears of God's saints are precious in his eyes. When the crowd who witnessed this great miracle, who witnessed Jesus' authority over death, saw what had happened, they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." God has visited his people in the incarnation of his Son, in grace and mercy and love, with compassion, with forgiveness, with salvation. You can say when you leave this service today and go home, "God visited us, his people, today. He visited us with the word of promise, the word of victory, the word of hope, the gospel of life eternal, the gospel of forgiveness. He visited us in the gift of his body and blood. For a dead Jesus could not give you anything, but the victorious risen Christ gives you his own body and blood to eat and drink. For the forgiveness of your sins, take, eat," he says. "This is my body." Just as surely as he said to the young man from Nain, "I say to you, arise." "Take and drink," Jesus says. "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Just as surely as he said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus' words accomplish what he means them to. His word does not return to him in vain, void, but accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And his word to you is the final, ultimate, triumphant word of victory. Victory over this world's illnesses and death, this world's evil. Victory that he shares with you and that he first marked you with in your baptism into Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And we won't be singing a distribution hymn today, but in the spirit of the day, let's go ahead and sing the distribution hymn now, and then we will proceed with the prayers, the offering, and the service of the sacrament.